my privilege to welcome you and to lead the service to remember, this memorial service, to remember the life of Gavin, who on the 25th of August went to be with Jesus Christ, his Saviour. And you'll hear a lot about his faith in Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for coming to not only celebrate, to support the family, as you mourn together, as you remember together, and no doubt as some of the funny stories come out, and also as you rejoice in what God has done in the life of Gavin. We're making a recording of this event, so people overseas and locally who can't make it today will be able to remember Gavin's life with you folk that are here today. So just a few practical issues, as always happens. The toilets are out through that door on the right-hand side, okay, and afternoon tea will be out into that area. So I trust that you all have your mobile phones off. That's normally what happens. Everyone dives for them, and that's fine, but we need to have them off, please. There's no kids here, or a couple of kids. If you want to, the creche is over in that back corner, and the door is just the first door out to the right, so you can make use of that if you need to. I just want to do a reading from God's Word, from Romans chapter 8. And it says this, from verse 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all, how will he not also with him be graciously give all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's just bow our heads while I pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we can come today to rejoice in your goodness to us, to help us mourn, to help us grieve, to help us rejoice. We thank you, Father, that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, come and paid that price for us. And as Gavin's testimony of faith, that he believed in your Son, and it was accounted to him that he might meet your Son. And that has happened. So we know, Father, that whilst this body of Gavin is dead, his spirit is alive with you. And in that we have the hope of glory in our hearts. So we ask that you be with us today as we remember and as we've said already, Lord, as we laugh and cry and just rejoice in your goodness, that your spirit will be present with us and will give us peace in our hearts. So we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. There's three songs that Jeff has prepared, a dear friend of Gavin's. While the songs go on, you'll see a PowerPoint of some of Gavin's life, some memories that you may know or not know. And this song is by Stephen Bell Booth, a local artist from a few years ago, and this song is called Hand It Over. So please just sit back, watch the PowerPoint presentation, and just rejoice in the photos that you'll see. Thank you, Lance.
I walk with someone good today. We talked about the things he knew. We walked in talk the miles away. And then he told me what to do. He said, hand it over.
Love the fashions back those days, don't you? Gavin was my vintage, a couple of months older than me. I didn't actually know Gavin, but I look at those photos of our clothes that we used to wear those days and cringe with great, well, let's just say regret, but that's what we knew, right? So today we come, as I've said, and we want to actually just take a breath. As people come and share about the life of Gavin. We have a dear friend of Gavin, Brent Porter, is going to come to the microphone over here and share a eulogy. After that, we'll sing we'll look at another song in the same way that we've just seen that, and then two friends also of Gavin's, Peter Lemon and Jeff Hall, will come and share. It's a time for us to learn about some of the things we didn't know about Gavin. Again, you'll hear strong messages about his faith and his friendship. You'll hear things about his life, although not perfect, redeemed in Christ Jesus. So I just ask Brent if he'd like to come forward and share. Thank you. Just use the step over there if you can. Thanks, Brent.
Hello. I was a good friend of Gavin for and a business partner for 17 years. And it's a real honour to be asked to read out his eulogy and a few of my thoughts as well of Gavin's life. Gavin was a big man and he had a big heart. And he touched every one of us in some way. I'll try to capture Gavin's life, and I know there are missing parts and stories that others will probably fill in. Gavin was born in Christchurch on the 28th of October 1960, and he was the youngest of four children with two other brothers and a sister. Gavin went to Hoon Hay Primary School, and then later on he went to Hill Morton High School. His parents separated when he was just 11, and he went to stay with his father. Gavin's father was a Navy man, and that's probably where Gavin got his love for the sea and his love for anything Navy. He joined Sea Cadets, a youth organisation with a naval flavour, where he learnt discipline, how to march in a naval uniform, sailing, and much more. He spent hours sailing on Littleton Harbour. This is where Gavin and I had a common ground, because I was also a sea cadet in Petone. And we spent many hours talking about our good times as a cadet. Gavin loved boats, and he did a lot of voluntary work with the Littleton Harbour tugs. I'm not sure of the date when Gavin moved to Wellington, but he got a job in the post office as a telegraph operator using Morse code, which he probably learnt at Sea Cadets. He was proud that he still knew Morse code 30-odd years later, and why was anyone not using it now? He later became an insurance agent in a company called Prime, working under Rick Lowe. He carried on his love for the sea by joining the Naval Reserves, HMNZS Olfert, in Wellington. And he told me a few times about the time that he capsized a naval whaler, a 27-foot open sailing boat, in Evans Bay, and spent the next 1.5 hours in freezing water waiting to be rescued by who else but the Sea Cadets. Gavin flattered with Jeff in Ascot Park and went to the Anchor Church in Plymouthon, where he met a lot of his mates who he kept in touch with over the years. In 1987, he bought his first house in Taylor Terrace in Tawa. Pam mentioned to me that he had no furniture apart from a bed and a chili bin when he moved in, and his first purchase was a second-hand fridge from a friend of his, Peter Lemon. Speaking of Pam worked in the post office, and Gavin was a regular customer. He had his eye on her for quite some time, and it was a wee while before he plucked up the courage to ask her out in the summer of 69. Their first date was at Days Bay, where Gavin told her to put on some sunblock, but Pam had not long come from Malaysia and had not understood why, and got badly sunburnt. They had a short courtship and were married in September 1989, and Jeremy was born in July 1990. Gavin was a very proud father. Gavin remained with Prime until 1992, when he had plans of moving the family to Christchurch, but it was about this time that his mother died, and this hit Gavin quite hard. He didn't go back to work after that and became a stay-at-home dad, bringing up Jeremy, while Pam went back to work at the post office. About this time, he bought himself a computer. It was an IBM JX, one of the first personal computers, and he would boast that he was one of the first people to have a computer, one of the first persons to have a computer in the home. I know roughly how much that would have cost. It would have been in the thousands. Gavin taught himself everything he knew about computers and was one of the first to communicate with others using a bulletin board, the very early version of email. The family moved to their current house in Newlands in 1996, and my lasting memory will be the neatly stacked firewood under the stairs that seemed to be there all year round. Gavin loved his log fire. There were current plans to make alterations to the house right up to this year. It was about the year 2000 that the friendship between Gavin and I began, when he needed a new computer and he chose my business out of the Yellow Pages. He told me what he wanted. He knew exactly what he wanted and asked me for a quote. I said, "Okay, Gavin, I'll get back to you with a quote," and got his email address. It was not 2 hours later that Gavin rang up. "I haven't received your email yet." I said, "Gavin, I'm on a job. I'll get back to you when I get back to my base." That was Gavin. Everything had to be done on his timetable by yesterday. I sent him the quote, he accepted it, and sold him a new computer. About 2 weeks later, the computer stopped working, and it turned out that the motherboard had failed. I replaced it under warranty, no charge. Gavin was so impressed with this that it wasn't long before he started calling me about his ideas, and suddenly I must have become his friend. That was Gavin. A lot of ideas running around his head. As I said before, he was smart. He loved to tell people about his ideas. The telephone was his friend, and he would call me, "What do you think of this idea?" And you wouldn't interrupt him because he had the floor. His ideas were very much hit and miss, and most of them you could tell were not going to fly, but it was hard to tell him that. But some of them were great ideas. It was after cleaning up the dust out of Gavin's computer, which was now 18 months old, that we both thought about how did the dust get in there, and because I knew what damage dust did to computers, a business idea was born, that was where my business partnership with Gavin started. Gavin would make phone calls and do research while I was out cleaning the dust out of computers. Another idea: how can we stop the dust from getting inside the computer? And the three-dimensional dust filter was born. Armed with a patent, we set off to conquer the world. "We're on to a winner," he said. That was one of his best sayings. Gavin was always positive, even when we had setbacks and things didn't quite go to plan. Gavin continued to learn, especially from the internet and YouTube, as the computer was his tool. He taught himself how to build websites and would offer this service to anyone he knew. He also organised the hosting of these websites, just another service he offered because he knew how to do it. And it was like he was doing us all a favour as a friend and giving us a good deal. If Gavin could help someone out, he would, even if it was just advice over the phone. Right up until the end, the ideas kept flowing, and one of his last ideas was a waterproof cover to go over plaster casts to stop his plaster cast getting wet in the shower. Gavin was a proud man, proud of his father, proud of his family, proud of his ideas, and proud of his friends. As I said before, he was a big man with a big heart, and he is going to be sorely missed. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent, for those heartfelt words. We get from that his ideas were either right or wrong. It was not often he was wrong. Was that right, Pam? Pretty much. Yeah. So we're going to listen to another song now that Jeff has given us. It's called "Hand It Over" by Stephen Bell Booth. And again, there's some more photos now to continue the life. And thank you, Jeremy, for putting that together. You did a great job, mate. I know that it was a bit difficult for you, and Lorraine, for the photos that no doubt that you found down in Christchurch. So thank you for that. This was a real family affair, and it was great to receive it. So thank you. Thank you, Lance.
When you see strange happenings in the sky, don't you worry about a single thing. It's only me reaching out to you, the good news that I bring. Well, I made the comets and the stars, and I made the Milky Way. I'm the ruler of time and eternity, and I rule by night and day. Don't you know that I love you? Don't you know that I care? Don't you know that I love you? And I'm always here. Don't you know that I care? Don't you know that I love you? And I'm always here. Don't you know that I love you? Don't you know that I care? Don't you know that I love you? And I'm always.
Another one of Gavin's favourite songs. I think I may have got the title wrong. It's Haley's Song, again by Stephen Bell Booth. We're going to ask Peter Lemon and Jeff to come up at the moment. Peter, if you can take the microphone, and Jeff, if you can perhaps just come up here as well and sit next to me. Peter, a dear friend of Gavin, who spent copious amounts of time in theological discussions, I think that's right, isn't it?
And also other discussions.
Yeah.
Just been reminded I sold him his first fridge. I'd forgotten about that.
You didn't give it to him either.
I think I did. Plus a car, plus a few other things. Yeah. Another one, yeah. And I just about sold your daughter. I see her up there on your wedding party too, when she was all of 14 and looking gorgeous. Yeah. Anyway, my name's Peter Lemon. These days we live in Te Apo, but we were formerly of Wellington and Auckland and a few other places. But firstly, on behalf of Lynn, my wife, and my own family, David and Bronwyn, we extend our love and sympathy, Pam, and Jeremy, and Lorraine, which haven't had a lot to do with you, and your husband, and your family and your friends, on your loss. Lynn sends her special love right now. She can't make it today. She's stuck in Te Apo. Lynn and I first met Gavin with our young family, about 11 and 9 years of age, when we were transferred back from Auckland here to Wellington to work for work purposes in 1985. So it's about the time he came here. We had purchased a house in Parramatta and decided to explore churches in the district that could be nice and family friendly and easy to attend. And one Sunday morning, we came across a little church in Acheron Road on the Mana Esplanade, roughly on the corner of where the caravan park was, or opposite the BP service. No, it's further along the BP service station. Not knowing quite what to expect, we found 6 people inside this little church, ready to start a worship on a Sunday morning. And we're sort of a bit intrigued about this, so we stayed on. And we found a guy called Gavin and 5 other elderly people who were obviously well known to each other and had been meeting there for quite some time. Well, to cut a long story short, very short, this church grew from those 6 people, and it grew. And as new families moved into the area, it grew so much that it relocated. And in the late 90s, became a church of about, 200-300 people. And more and more people joined it. And yes, it became known as the Anchor Church, the one right here that you're sitting in, right now here in Whitby. So I guess you could say that Gavin was a founding member of this church. It's an honour indeed, I guess, way back then. And he married Pam in that little Acheron Road church. And as I've mentioned, our daughter Bronnie was part of that party. Yet despite Lynn and I then moving away to live overseas and elsewhere at the end of the 90s, we became long-standing friends from those days right up until now. While distant, we stayed in touch. I was working at IBM in those days, hence things like computers were things in common. And he was in insurance. About every couple of months or so, Gavin would ring and we would spend up to 2 hours on the phone. We've heard his phone was his main tool, apart from his computer. He'd still dial via the computer, by the way. And if you picked up the phone and there was no one there, it was either a overseas Ugandan deal, but they didn't answer, or it was Gavin, because his computer hadn't quite connected. Hang up, it would go again. It was dear old Gav. With his insurance and his love of the sea background, he'd weigh in on the economy, international events, health, home, the kids' progress, family, and lots of other subjects. All these and more were subjects that we regularly discussed. Before the call, he would usually store up lots of information and a whole lot of very curly questions that would all ensure a very, very long phone call and lots of exploring and problem solving. It was fun, although sometimes challenging time-wise. This continued right up to this year, I have to say. The last call was about a month ago. In all these dealings with Gavin, these are the words I would use that come to mind to reflect on Gavin's character and his personality. He was outgoing in spirit, interested in other people, thoughtful and open, kind-hearted. He had a keen and inquiring mind. Everything was up for grabs in terms of exploring and getting to know or better understanding it. And as we've heard, he had quite some prowess when it came to the PC and the internet, being a very early adopter of that technology. He was a supreme optimist, we've heard today. Possibilities abounded. And yes, he was an ideas person. Countless and continuous flow of ideas that would be explored for either commercial value or for making life a little easier, or in his particular case, the Bible clearer and more easy to understand. Yes, he was a man who was a strong, committed Christian and with a strong Christian belief. He loved his God, whom he served by telling as many people about it as he could and about his faith, and a faith in God that never wavered. He loved his family, which he often spoke about, and he was very proud of, especially his mum. We saw her there. He was loyal to his friends that he trusted. And although locked in his home in latter years, nonetheless, he had a great interest in the world around him. Those ideas, I remember his discussing at length the special use of ethane in beer for improved health. Man, that went long, long way, that one. Buying a yacht as a commercial venture, especially to train young people. Shades, perhaps, of his love for the sea. I'm definitely about that. His ideas on making a living from a website. And he did some of that. The big one was ladies' clothing. Remember that one? That was a bit scary, wasn't it? A special bra for women. I couldn't quite get my head around that, and neither could my wife. But he was onto something, I'm sure. I'm not sure what, yeah. He was dead serious. It had some ring of truth, but I wasn't really the right person to go for that one. And yes, the big one, the PCs, the PC filters. The last one, I remember attending a meeting with, where's our previous speaker? Where is he? At his house. Remember that, with the patent lawyers, and got quite serious at one point, didn't it? We've got the patent done. But sadly, I think the industry moved too fast, and for dear old Gavin to actually cash in on that one big time, despite some being manufactured, and I've still got one at home, and some were sold. And there were more and more endless ideas that kept his fertile mind very occupied. But I think more importantly, his optimism alive, a man of optimism. Yes, while sometimes out there in his views, he wanted to see the right thing was done and that people appreciated other people by respecting the differences that an individual was born with. Gavin did have a particular interest in the Bible, which we've alluded to, and he had a particular interest in future events and trends and how these lined up with the Bible. I think this came from his deep faith. And I believe that this is where he drew his real inner strength, by exploring, discovering, and knowing more about this Lord, his Saviour, that he believed he would see one day. And I shared that future expectation and hope with him. I respected his Christian faith and the way he did express it to others in the ways that he could, and for the positive outlook this whole area gave him over many difficult situations in his life. Gavin has passed on. He's rid of his pains and his problems. He's left us, but he believes, I believe as a Christian, that he's now in the presence of his Lord God, who we have heard he loved dearly. He's left us with many great memories and with lots of incidents that amused or maybe sometimes frustrated us as we attempted to help him through. But to me, he's left in particular the example of an unswerving trust and belief, and one of great perseverance and persistence. We'll miss you, Gavin. Those long calls, the difficult questions, the challenges each day. But we're so encouraged to know that you're way better off, and that, yes, we will see you again one day very soon. With reference to the Bible I've already made, I'd like to read just a couple of references to the Bible, because I know they were special to Gavin. And they're from Hebrews and Corinthians. If you wanted to look them up, I can tell you later where they come from. And the first one reads, "Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him." That was Gavin. "For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean." And that's referring to Christ on the cross. "And our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope, to the expectation that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." And the second one in Corinthians, "But," says Paul, "let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die," meaning it's the end, "but we will be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed if we believe. For our bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Thanks be to God who gives the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." God bless you, Gavin, and may you rest in perfect peace.
Hi, my name is Jeff Hall, and I just want to say before I start that none of us have concurred what we were going to say about Kevin, but I think we're all going to run over the same ground, some of it. But anyway, I first met Gavin in 1985 when I answered an ad for a flatmate. He said his name was Gavin Lee, so I turned up expecting to see this Chinese guy. Instead, there was a tall, skinny white guy who answered the door. And I said, "Is Gavin Lee there, please?" And of course, he said, "I am Gavin Lee." That house where we were flatted together was at 128 Conclusion Street in Ascot Park. And a couple of my flatmates from that era are here today. And Gavin owned a Mitsubishi Cordia back then, which was the envy of many. Anyway, Gavin was an out there entrepreneurial sort of a guy who knew lots of people. And back then, he worked in insurance and finance with National Mutual and Prime Finance. He was a very good, proud employee and agent. He went to the Acheron Road Chapel, where he eventually married Pam, his earthly rock. The Akron Road Chapel has grown a bit now and is now known as the Anchor Church, which of course is where we are today. So Gavin has come full circle. He always wanted to come back, and I had aspirations to bring him to a service here. Not quite the homecoming to his spiritual home that I envisaged. Gavin loved his Christian music, so he and I and Lance would put on our music really loud and sing along to the songs. So all the songs you heard today were some of Gavin's really, really that he liked and were so appropriate at the end of Gavin's life, in my opinion. Gavin was a lean, mean tennis machine back in those days, believe it or not. He was also an ideas man, which you can probably all relate to, drove us around the bend at times. But he came up with some really good ideas. One was the Crippled Children's Society he must have been involved with, a scheme where he would come to you and say, I want to insure your life. And the Crippled Children, it won't cost you anything, he'd say. And the Crippled Children's Society obviously paid the premiums and benefited when you died. That was one of his ideas. Another was the first electronic welcome sign at the airport. Now, he was very good at involving people and conned my brother into wiring it all up for him. And but it was one of the first signs at the airport and anywhere that I'd seen that welcomed you, and he used to tell you put messages up, whatever you want. You know, it was another great idea of his. And of course, the computer dust filter. And there we, the spelling computer programmer, in the later, was one of the latest ones. Phonetics. Now God had given Gavin an incredible mind, but out of all this, these God ideas, good ideas, there was one that trumped them all. I'll just go back to Gavin was a very proud person. But he was proudest of all of his beloved wife, Pam, and his son, Jeremy. He used to tell me about what they were up to, and especially how well Jeremy had done for himself in Sydney with his coffee job, and how Jeremy had climbed the ranks there and had brought himself a brand new Toyota Hilux. And of his friends and business partners, Gavin would talk about you all and say you'd really like them, and so on and so on. And you'd get on really well with them, whoever it was he was talking about. Yeah, God had given Gavin an incredible mind. And out of all of these good ideas and thoughts, there was one that trumped them all: his love of God and the knowledge that believing in Jesus was paramount. And he would tell anyone who would listen about Jesus, whether they wanted to listen or not. Now, just last week when I visited him in the hospital, the songs that I've chosen, I chose with Gavin in mind and what was going on that I thought in Gavin's heart and his head. The owner of the universe came down to talk to Gavin at the hospital. And I could sense Gavin and God having this conversation about Gavin's life and about his cares and worries and his struggles. That Gavin is going through. And God told him, Gavin, you know I sent my son. To rescue you from all your worries and pain and frustrations. Gavin, you know I love you and I care. And now it's time to hand it over. And let me take care of you and all your worries. You know my love is strong and its power can cleanse the wrongest wrong. And now I'm going to present you faultless and blameless to my Father in heaven. So, Gavin, hand it over to me and suffer no more, and I will give you my peace. Rest in peace.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Peter and Jeff, for those heartfelt sentiments. It doesn't matter that the same sentiments come through because there's a consistency in life that we all share. Right now we're going to take a break from sitting and listening to participating. One of the greatest songs, that Christian songs that ever been penned, Amazing Grace. And we're not going to do the six verses, we're going to do four. And I'd like Ryan to come up. Ryan is one of our congregation members here at the Anchor Church. And Ryan is going to lead us as we stand and sing Amazing Grace. The words are in your leaflet here, or they'll be on the screen, as you can see there, with Gavin's background. So could I just ask you all to please stand and sing Amazing Grace as Ryan leads us. Thank you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Right now is a time for you who might want to share in a story about Gavin, a remembrance of his early life, perhaps. It doesn't matter what it is at the end of the day. It's just for you to be able to express your thoughts about Gavin, whether he's a family member or a friend. And we have a microphone here for you to come and use. Please do that. The only thing I would ask is that out of respect for the family, that you keep those comments brief, if that's okay. I know that sounds harsh, but if you could do that, that would be great. So if you would like to come up to the front just here on the floor, I have a microphone for you and you can share your heart away. Thank you. Thank you. There you go. It would be good if you introduce yourself and how you're connected to. Thank you.
I'm going to pray now. My name is Ina. I'm one of the family friends. As a friend, we all have memories about Gavin. And godliness is one of them. I am very thankful for it that I wrote this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for creating Gavin, letting him live, love, and share his life's journey with us on earth. Thank you for guiding and leading him, especially committed to Pam, and having Jeremy to share family life. Well, thank you for giving Gavin the opportunity to appreciate and value the beauty and joy of life. Thank you, Lord, for opening the gate in heaven, in your heavenly kingdom. Warmly and joyfully welcome him. He returned to you as one of your beloved children. Let him rest in peace together with his loved ones and the people he knew and met in his life's journey while he was on earth. Thank you, Father. Teach him to sing instead of typing. He had lots of that already in earth while he was around. Let him rejoice the angels' choir, celebrating his life from earth to your heavenly kingdom. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Gavin, for being a friend, a special friend. You will be missed, but your memories will be cherished and will live with us forever. Rest in peace. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Everybody, can you hear that?
Yeah.
My name is Rick Lowe. It's been mentioned, my name's been mentioned with Gavin having worked for me. Having had the stroke about 11 years ago, it's sort of difficult to remember certain things happening at the when they did or whenever. For instance, I was just borrowing a pen back there, and I was going on. But I managed to write down a couple of things with my
Right. Hand doesn't work. I thought we met in 1985 when we all met, evidently. But perhaps somebody said, oh, maybe Gavin was already working for me. And so maybe it was 1982, I can't remember. But I was pleased to see that photo of him up there with the rabbit. Because, and he was being so kind to the rabbit. And that was Gavin. He was kind to everybody. And and his God. I'm sure he was kind to his God. Rather, God be kind to him, of course. As you know, we always heard about him. And it did reflect widely inside me when I heard it. I was always interested in talking to him. When he worked for us, I'm not very sure that he was that successful. He was certainly dedicated and certainly had it in his heart that what he was doing was right for people. And he must have been there 7 or 8 or 9 years, I guess. So we were obviously together a lot, and then we didn't see each other for probably 15 years much. He came back to me and rang me up, and we talked again, and I loved talking to him. I ran around to his house with one of our guys about, must be 5 years ago, and we had a good chat, and then we got to know him again when he was in Kenneborough Hospital, and he was there with a guy called Billy. Now Billy was about 75, I suppose. And Billy has had the most unfortunate life, really, because he got rolled over by a car, I think, when he was about 25, and then he had a fall and lost his sight altogether. This fall, so Billy was blind, totally blind, for the last 5 or 6 years, and of course Gavin was in the ward next to him, and so I saw him quite a bit, and Billy, and when Billy came out, Gavin and I were going to go and see him. I went and saw him, and it was arranged to see Billy again with Gavin in about three weeks' time. And I know Billy was certainly looking forward to that. And when I rang Billy a few days ago to tell him that Gavin wouldn't be coming, and he was very upset about that, because Gavin was a guy that he could relate to, as could most people, or everybody probably. And so it was just about that day. Pam, I don't know whether Gavin was good for you, but I certainly know there's no question you were good for Gavin. There's no way that Gavin would have gone on in life without you. And I've probably only 4 or 5 or something, but you have been fantastic to him, and on behalf of, I'm sure, the crowd here, we want to say that, and personally I want to keep in touch with you. I know I've talked a lot of times on phone to on phone. The church. It doesn't surprise me that when he joined the church, there were six members there, and now it's 200 or 300. I'm sure that would be, to a certain extent, maybe a large extent, the result of Gavin's inspiration to go see people and encourage them to come here. I'm sure if Gavin hadn't joined that church, we wouldn't be in this building. That's my thought. And I always used to say to him, the compounding effect of anything is unbeatable. And this is Gavin's illustration. The compounding of going from 6 to 200 or 300 is unbeatable. So I take my hat off to Gavin. He was a wonderful man. As he said, we all have our faults, and Gavin had his. But what he did under the surface for people, especially for the church, and through his beliefs and whatever he's doing, I take my hat off him to him. And it's a privilege to have known him forever.
Thank you. Thank you. Would like to share?
I'm Sandy. I've known Gavin now for close to 10 years. I was given Gavin's name by somebody who said, I think I know somebody who would be very interesting to talk to. And that was the introduction. So I gave Gavin a ring. And we talked about every single thing imaginable. Good ideas, bad ideas, useless ideas, but they were all good stimulation over the time. Gavin always mentioned what Pam was doing, how Pam was, and he always told me that Pam's going overseas, but I'll be all right, don't panic, I can look after myself. And even up to about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I said, look, I must pop up. Are you all right? I'm all right. Don't worry about me. And I can remember Kay said, I think Gavin should be visited. I said, I will go and see him. And I never did. Unfortunately, the last time I saw Gavin was in hospital and we couldn't communicate. But Gavin was a great friend and a great inspiration and ideas. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you for those who have shared. There'll be time for you to catch up after. Oh, do you want to share? Sorry. Okay.
Thank you.
No, that's okay.
Thank you for the opportunity. And last night, it's a shock to me. My sister rang up, and suddenly I was on the table with my wife. I paused. My mind goes back to the time when Gavin, I knew this family, it's my next door for 20 years. But I never, most of the time I never see Pam. It's only few times because he's busy working. But Gavin is the one who usually I talk to. So I endorse what has been said today. He's a man full of ideas. In the beginning when he came over, oh, by the way, my name is Yeti. He called me Isaac. You know, every time we talk, he always, call me, how are you, Isaac? But my name is Jedediah or Yeti Jennings. So it's a privilege to meet somebody with great ideas. because I'm a person who loves to hear people talk and assess their ideas. Yes, I heard this. Yes, he's a man who is actually. But at that time, it was a little bit lighter, according to the spiritual side that we of Gavin that we heard. I admire him, but there is something that was left behind. I couldn't even complete with my brother Gavin. Although he told me, "Are you sick?" I said, "No." I said, "Are you mental?" I said, "No." "But how come you're actually going to move to Porirua? You know, this is the ideal man I'm trying to reveal to you." And I said to him, "You realize my life here, it was a dream when I was young. I became a teacher, and my dream is to help people who are swimming in the industrial area here in New Zealand. I was born in a very small island, no mountain, and I moved to my other family where mountains are actually bigger. Then I wanted to be a pastor I admire." You know, as he was talking to me, my latest talk with him, he was talking about God. But he was limping at the time. Very close, and I didn't realize he just got out of the hospital. But he came without anything, you know, trying to walk. He didn't tell me what happened to him because I'm away. Sometimes I'm overseas. I came back. I never live because my daughter is living next door to him, and I already live in Porirua. The reason why he called me, whether I'm mental, he said, "You're going to live next door to the Mongol mob and the Black Power." You know, and I said, "That's the reason why I'm here." You know, I'm a person who loves to help people who are actually, you know, when you were young and I was young too, we were like them. You know, but we grow up and we developed when we learn about God's mercy upon a sinful person like me. And like you. And every time I'm visiting my daughter and trying to mourn the Lord and my sister, you know, he always tried to come over and we have a long talk at the back. And we talk about life and we talk about the spiritual life. And you know, although I was shocked, I said to him, "Why are you actually walking like that?" And he told me that he's not well with his leg. And I said, "Do you realize I'm also official? Now, I need you to come to Porirua swimming pool. There is a spa. I can even help you soak yourself, and then I end up massaging you. It's unfortunate." He said, "Oh, yes. I'm going to ring you." I gave him my telephone. "Ring me. I can even come and take you to the swimming pool. And then give you what I can, I know how to fix that problem you have." But, you know, when my sister rang up last night, I said, "Lord, at least the last time we talked was you." Thinking about your grace today, you know, it's a reminder to all of us, no one is going to enjoy anything in this life. Jesus already came and assured us a better place. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." And that's exactly where Gavin is actually waiting for the soon return of our Lord. And today, you know, although we're sad, Pam and Jeremy, you know, you're lucky to have him at this stage. Gavin is already. I lost my mom when I was 5. You know, love is something that you can develop knowing the one who loved you and who loves me. And that's God sent his only begotten Son to die for you and me And that's the biggest hope that you have, and me, mm-hmm. knowing that Jesus soon will return to take us home. And may our life be a blessing because of what Gavin, you know, living us and reminding us there is a better place prepared by our Lord Jesus Christ is soon very near to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. For those of you who had things, please take a time to talk to Pam and Jeremy and their family outside over some tea and coffee. I want to say to you and share those sentiments of our dear brother there. I asked Pam for Gavin's Bible, and this is what I got. That's good. It's tattered and torn and red. King James Version, I'm not going to read that to you today. I'll read the version that we can understand. But inside I found some notes, and I was intrigued, and I showed Jeff as we sat and planned the memorial service, and I said, have a look at this. And then Lorraine wanted to grab them and have a read of them, and she grabbed them and read them, and Pam had a look at them, and Jeremy sat in the corner, and he can read them later when I give you the Bible back. But I want to tell you what this is about. I want to tell you what Gavin would want us to know. You've already heard the testimony today that Gavin would tell anyone about his faith, right? He would talk your glass eye to sleep. He'd make it cry. He would continue to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And do you know what today? That Jesus Christ offers us that hope and that comfort. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ was not only God himself and a man, he understood grief. In Isaiah 53 verse 3, it talks about how he was a man acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows, a prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ that would come. I remember in John chapter 11 how Lazarus had died. And he went along to see Lazarus and sure that he rose Lazarus from the dead, but he went along and he saw the people who were upset. Their hearts were sorrowful. They were in distress. And Jesus' response, this is the God-man, shortest verse in the Bible, in the English Bible at least, he wept. And he understands that your heart is sorrowful today. He understands that mourning is okay. He understands that broken hearts are okay. Because he is the one who comforts you. He is the one that you can reach out to understand. He's not apart from anguish. He's right in the middle of it. And he came to save and make his yoke light so that we can rest on him. And Gavin's challenge would be to you today, if he was here, do you know him? Do you know him? There's a little passage there that he wrote in his Bible. He said, believers, having believed, now openly identify with the claim publicly to walk or to live in line with Romans 6:13. And I want to read you that passage that Gavin talked about here. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. You see, Gavin understood what it meant to live a sinful life. He also understood what it meant to live a glorious life of fulfilled divine appointment with Jesus Christ, having found faith in him. In Romans 6:23 it says, for the wages of sin is death, and that's spiritual death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He had the hope of Jesus Christ in his heart. And I know that he wanted you to know that. As I stood there, never met Gavin, never met any of the family, I only knew Jeff, and there was probably about 10 of us around. As Gavin passed from this mortal body into the loving arms of Jesus Christ last Thursday, God had mercy on him to take him quickly. And I assured the family at that particular time that he is with Jesus Christ because of his confession of faith. You see, he understood that he was a sinful man from what I read here. He understood that he knew that his standards were against God's standards. yet he leant on Jesus Christ for the hope of salvation in his heart. He counted it for his sanctification that Jesus, his understanding that he would be made right with God, because Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross and he was buried and he rose again in glorious light. Because if Christ had not been risen from the dead, Gavin's faith is useless. But because he rose, and because Gavin responded, he had the hope of eternal life. And that's what he hung on to, and that's what he says in those notes. Being baptized into the death of Jesus Christ and arising into glorious life, he had the hope of eternal life. And I think Gavin would, if he was here today, he would want you to respond. How do you respond to knowing that Jesus loves you? How do you respond knowing that he came on this earth to serve and offer his life for a ransom for many? How do you know that he came? The greatest man that ever lived, the God-man. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. And those that believe in him, he paid the ransom, might enter into the glorious rest. I shared that verse and I prayed for the family that of the Israelites many years before in their history were supposed to enter into that perfect rest, into their promised land. They never quite got there. But the man who is ashes is before us, a shadow of his former self, has now entered into the perfect rest that Jesus Christ offers. Do you know we have all fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us, me included. But like Gavin, I have hope. And I want to say today, you have to call out on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. You come as you are. So I want you to consider what Gavin would have said to you and think about in the days ahead. What will it mean for you to enter into the perfect rest as Gavin has done? We're now going to hear our final song. Blessing by Stephen Booth, one of the songs that Jeff has talked about. There'll be another PowerPoint that he has done. At the end of that, I'll ask you to stand. I'll do a benediction, a closing prayer, and then I would invite you to stay for some light refreshments and to perhaps talk to Pam and the family and to Jeremy and pass on your best wishes to you personally. So Lance, would you please play the final song? Thank you.
His face shine on you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance so high upon you and give you peace. Give you peace. Shine on you. The Lord be gracious unto you and you. The Lord lift up his countenance so high upon you and give you peace. Give you peace.
Invite you all to stand now as we do our benediction. I read this in the hospital from the book of Jude in the New Testament of our Bible last Thursday, and I want you to remind yourselves as you listen to this of what Jesus Christ has done for our friend Gavin and what his hope was. And it says this in verse 24, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Gavin, you have been reduced to ashes, and in the ground that you will go, your body will be reunited at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, where physically you will be able to worship the Lord Jesus Christ forever in the glorious heights of his heaven." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I thank you for the life of Gavin, though not perfect, and understanding his sinful demeanor, relented his life to Jesus Christ, his Lord. Now with the hope of glory, his spirit is with you. We thank you, Father, for his life. We thank you for the remembrance of today. In a somber occasion, we have been able to rejoice. We've been able to rejoice with tears. We've been able to rejoice with memories and love. From the days forward, we want to pray for Pam, that her encouragement will come from your Holy Spirit. For Jeremy also, for the rest of the family, the extended family, may they seek out you for the eternal comfort that they need. We ask that you bless us, encourage us and strengthen us in the days ahead, because we are left to mourn and to grieve and to remember, while Gavin now is in the bosom of his Saviour. We thank you, Father, for your promises that are true and right. We thank you, Father, for this time that we can be together today to remember and give you thanks for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. That concludes the formal part of our ceremony. Thank you so much for coming and supporting the family. Thank you, Pam and Jeremy and the family, for the privilege of allowing us to have this here and to rejoice with you. So food awaits, and cups of tea and coffee and other things out there. So thank you for coming. Real blessings to you all. Thank you.